This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, July 9th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We'll start first across the pond, Wimbledon finals, men and women. Yesterday, the men's final, Andy Murray trying to become the first person from Great Britain to win a major since the late 1930s, specifically Wimbledon since 1936. Murray goes out against Roger Federer, trying to get his 7th Wimbledon and 17th Grand Slam to tie Pete Sampras in the amount of Wimbledons, and William Renshaw, who won 7 in the 19th century. Andy Murray takes the first set, and you're almost rooting for this guy. I mean, he'll be bigger than the Queen if he could ever win Wimbledon. But after winning the first set 6-4 and losing the second set to Federer 7-5, he slipped and hurt his ankle once. He fell again when he was losing the third set 3-2. They had a rain delay early in that third set. They wound up closing the roof, and I don't know if it was the delay or if things played differently when the roof is closed, but after that, it was all Roger Federer. They closed the roof. It was tied at 1. Federer wins the third set 6-3. Federer wins the fourth set 6-4. Murray, very emotional afterwards. Federer would be the favorite if he wasn't playing Andy Murray. I think he would have been the favorite of the crowd against anybody else on the planet. But yesterday, the crowd was behind Andy Murray, and he just could not get the job done. Give Federer a lot of credit. He wins his 7th Wimbledon. He becomes the number one player in the world at the age of 30, virtually unheard of today. Federer had his own history against him when he lost the first set in Grand Slam finals. When he had lost the first set, he was 3-5, but he overcame that statistic, and he just had more of a will to win at the end of the day. Again, John McEnroe said yesterday he's the greatest tennis player ever. He, Roger Federer, is the greatest player ever. That's a big statement from someone like John McEnroe himself, of course, an all-time great. But the book is closed again. Federer wins his 7th Wimbledon, 17th Grand Slam of all time, goes back to being the number one player in the world, something many people thought would never happen again. You thought Nadal had passed him. You thought Djokovic had passed him. He was able to beat Djokovic on the grass. Nadal, of course, got knocked out early. But Federer wins Wimbledon in four sets, 4-6, 7-5, 6-3, 6-4. And just a stunning result, but this is what this guy can do. He now has 17 Grand Slams, of course, are the most all-time. And again, he ties Pete Sampras and William Renshaw with 7 Wimbledon titles. The women back on Saturday, Serena Williams, what can you say? You know, I think her seed and her ranking are always lower than they really should be because she just really doesn't play that many tournaments anymore. But she won Wimbledon again, her 14th career major. She, too, at 30, you know, that's very old for tennis, but Federer and Serena Williams, Roger Federer and Serena Williams, this year at least, at Wimbledon, were able to turn back the clock. Those are your Wimbledon final results. A few other things going on. We'll get to a bunch of the baseball. But the latest NBA news now is it looks like the Brooklyn Nets, and we've talked about the Brooklyn Nets a lot. Are they showing up with nobody? Are they showing up with a lot? If they show up with a lot, I think in Brooklyn, which is, you know, where they're going to play is probably literally like 7 or 8 miles from where Madison Square Garden is, maybe closer. And if they showed up without Darren Williams, they would have been in trouble, but they traded for Joe Johnson. That was enough to make Darren Williams sign. And now it looks like these trade talks between Orlando and Brooklyn for Dwight Howard are really heating up. And what happened was they needed a third team to absorb some of this salary because the Magic don't want salary back for Dwight Howard, but it looks like Dwight Howard might be going to the Nets. The Nets will, at a minimum, of course, give a lot more, but at a minimum will have to give their good young center. He's not Dwight Howard, but Brook Lopez is a pretty good player. And apparently the Cavaliers are willing to take Chris Humphries, who's a free agent, but I guess it would be a sign and trade. They're willing to take Chris Humphries, a very good player. You know, Chris Humphries takes a lot of grief because he was married to a Kardashian for 72 days or whatever it was. If you take all of that absurdity out of the equation, Chris Humphries is a very good basketball player. He's a walking double-double. He plays hard. He hustles. He scores more than you would think he's going to score, and he is a very good rebounder. So it looks like now, this is not official, but there's a makings of a three-team deal between the among the Brooklyn Nets, the Orlando Magic, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And again, as we've discussed, if the Brooklyn Nets show up in Brooklyn with Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, and Darren Williams, you can make a good case that they're better than the Knicks. And that Brooklyn-Manhattan battle, obviously the Knicks have been king. Even when the Nets went to the finals and they were better than the Knicks, it almost didn't matter. But if they show up in Brooklyn, in the backyard of the Knicks, as opposed to playing in, you know, Newark or wherever, that's going to be a big-time rivalry. And I think you'd have to give the edge. If you tell me the Nets are showing up with Darren Williams and Dwight Howard, that in and of itself could be the best point guard big man combination in basketball. You throw in Joe Johnson, who is a quiet star. I mean, Joe Johnson's unbelievable. So if they show up with those three guys, if they don't get Dwight Howard, the Nets will be okay. But they're not going to be real good. If they get Dwight Howard, they're instantly, you know, can they beat the Heat? I don't know, but they're in the neighborhood. You know, with all that's changed lately, you have to put the Lakers back in the mix in the West. You know, Oklahoma City, clearly the best team, but now you put Steve Nash at the point of the Lakers with Kobe and Bynum. I mean, that's a very good team. Pau Gasol sticking around. You don't think he's going to get a lot more easy baskets with Steve Nash running the show? So the Lakers, I think, are now contenders in the West with Oklahoma City. And in the East, Miami, which looked like they stood alone. You know, Miami got Ray Allen. He's going to be shooting open threes all season, barring injury. So I think if the Nets, they could frankly move into the number two spot if they show up with Dwight Howard, along with Williams and Joe Johnson. You know they have Williams, and you know they have Joe Johnson. Dwight Howard makes them a title contender. Now, can they beat the Heat? Well, the Heat don't have a real good point guard. Chalmers is good. And the Heat don't really have a big man, so Brooklyn would have what the Heat doesn't have, a dominant big man and a fantastic point guard. Of course, the Nets aren't going to have LeBron James or Dwayne Wade or even Chris Bosh. But Williams, Johnson, and Howard, it looks like everybody's lining up their own trios now. And the latest is maybe Chris Paul, who made that famous toast at Carmelo Anthony's wedding now two summers ago. How about we get our own big three, Amari Stoudemire, Carmelo Anthony, and Chris Paul? Well, Chris Paul is a free agent after the end of this year. Now, I'm a big Jeremy Lin guy. And it looks like the Knicks are going to match that four-year, 28.5 or whatever that number is, million dollars from Houston. And I think Lin's already a good to very good NBA point guard. He sees things that a lot of other point guards just don't see. But Chris Paul is one of those guys who sees what he sees and is a better player. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. Now, Lin will have a full camp. Jason Kidd's backing him up and is already on record as saying he'd like to mentor Jeremy Lin. Kidd leaving Dallas. They're abandoning ship in Dallas. Mark Cuban, who finally got his championship, again, we discussed it all year, made by far his biggest mistake, letting Tyson Chandler go, letting J.J. Barea go, even letting Deshaun Stevenson, who gave LeBron at least some mental problems, if not some physical problems. Deshaun Stevenson was in LeBron's head for a few years there. But they've taken themselves out of the mix. Dallas, San Antonio, I think, is too old. Boston, I think, is too old. It was interesting that Allen, one of the reasons supposedly for Allen leaving the Celtics was because he didn't get along with Rajon Rondo, which is interesting. Rondo seems to be a quirky, even a weird guy, but what a player he is. So Allen winds up in Miami, which helps them. You know, even with all these changes, I still like Miami, Oklahoma City. Can the Brooklyn Nets make a run at Miami if Howard goes to Brooklyn? Yeah, they can. But, you know, these things kind of take time. It took Miami a year. I think it'll take the Brooklyn Nets at least a year. And Miami's going to be standing in their way for the next 3, 4, 5 years. Over in the West, can the Lakers do it? Yeah, they can do it. But can they beat the young, athletic? You know, Nash is really good, but he's not young and athletic. Kobe's Kobe, but he's getting a little old. Bynum's become a dominant center at times. And Gasol is an up-and-down guy. So are they in the mix now? Yes. The other team, again, I would include is the Clippers. But if Paul is looking for the door, he might get traded at the trade deadline. I don't know if he's looking for the door or not. But in any event, that's your latest on the NBA. But the scene-changing, rim-rocking news is there's a good chance right now with the Cavaliers coming into the mix as part of a three-team deal that the Brooklyn Nets are going to get Dwight Howard, which is pretty amazing. One other basketball note, the U.S. Olympic team is now practicing. Dwayne Wade had successful knee surgery on his left knee today. He's obviously not going to be on the Olympic team. But, you know, there's so much talent there, you could miss 2, 3, 4 guys. LeBron's on the team, Kobe's on the team, Kevin Durant's on the team, Chris Paul's on the team, Carmelo. You know, interestingly, if you follow the Knicks D'Antoni saga, where a lot of people think Carmelo Anthony ran D'Antoni out of New York, well, Mike Krzyzewski is the head coach of the U.S. Olympic team. D'Antoni's one of his assistants, and they had a couple of articles in the New York papers this weekend swearing everything was cool. Carmelo said everything's cool. D'Antoni wasn't quite as embracing, but he certainly didn't say anything negative about Carmelo. But the common belief, and I certainly believe it, is that D'Antoni wanted Jeremy Lin to run the show. Lin showed what he could do in the D'Antoni system. It was unbelievable. And Carmelo needs the ball in his hands to really run his own show. And you saw that when Woodson took over and Carmelo essentially ran the offense, and then Lin got hurt, of course. Knicks did go 18-6 under Mike Woodson. Again, we talked about the scheduling at the time it happened. It was very weird to me that D'Antoni resigned when he did. He resigned on the morning of the first game that the Knicks were going to win in 2 weeks. They beat Portland by 40. So it didn't matter who coached the team that night. It just struck me as weird. D'Antoni could have quit the prior 3, 4, 5 games when he had virtually no chance to win on the road in Dallas and San Antonio back-to-back. Just going off the top of my head here. I mean, they had a brutal schedule on the road in Boston. But whatever, that's all in the past. But they both swear, Carmelo more than D'Antoni, that, you know, everything's cool, there was no problem, it wasn't anybody's fault, blah, blah, blah. The Olympic team has its first exhibition game against the Dominican Republic this Thursday. Now, interestingly, the Dominican Republic, coached by John Calipari of Kentucky, of all people, they lost to Nigeria yesterday, so they are not even going to be in the Olympics. But they are going to scrimmage the U.S. Olympic team this coming Thursday. But the Dominican Republic will not be in the Olympics for basketball. Nigeria will be. Pretty amazing. So that's really the NBA wrap-up. We don't do a lot of NBA, but still I think the Magic probably trading Dwight Harper to the Nets is gigantic page one news. And the U.S. Olympic team, again, you expect them to win the gold now that pros can play, and it's been like that going back to the 92 Dream Team, of course. You know, it almost doesn't matter who they select. They can miss 2, 4, 6 guys, and it almost doesn't matter, although Krzyzewski did talk about missing some big guys, and we'll see what the roster is on Thursday when they actually play the Dominican Republic. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
This is WWE Superstar The Big Show.
This is Edge.
This is Stacey Keibler.
What up? This is John Cena. You're logged on.
We're logged on.
And you're logged on to Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk Network.com. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfie and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to turn to the baseball now. A big series for the Red Sox with the Yankees in Fenway for four games. Didn't turn out well for Boston. They lose three of four. Yesterday, Yankees 7, Red Sox 3. Ivan Nova gets the win. He's brilliant on the road. He's now 10-3 as they go to the All-Star break. John Lester, not very good yesterday. 4 1/3, 9 hits, 5 runs, 4 earned. He takes the loss. He's 5-6. Andrew Jones, who was unconscious all weekend, hit 4 home runs in 3 games. He hit his 11th yesterday. He's just brutal. You know, he essentially plays against lefties. And he was unbelievable. 2 for 5 yesterday, 3 RBIs, including the home run. His batting average only up to .244, but he now has 11 home runs, 22 RBIs, again, in limited action. He's a danger on every step in against the lefty. Jeter, who had fallen off a cliff for a while, 3 for 5 yesterday, his average back up to .308. Again, he dropped from the .370s, the .380s, even .400, down to .299, but he's back up to .308 by the All-Star break, and of course, he's going to the All-Star game. Grandison with 2 hits, Teixeira with 2 hits and an RBI, but again, Grandison hitting .248, Teixeira hitting .250. You expect both of those guys to be higher. A-Rod, you got to deal with what he is. 1 for 5 yesterday, .269 at the All-Star break. He's certainly not A-Rod anymore. The guy who's had an MVP season for the Yankees so far. Robinson Cano, batting .313, but at the All-Star break. And again, he's been the best second baseman in baseball. Arguably the MVP of the American League. Yeah, you can make a case for a bunch of other guys, but Cano has been unbelievable. Now, for the Red Sox, decimated with injuries. You know, I think they have 20 guys on the DL this year. Got rid of Euclid, which I thought was a mistake. We'll get to Euclid in a bit. He's killing it in Chicago. But they do have Pedro Siriaco, who had an unbelievable weekend. taking Dustin Pedroia's place at second base. Kid wears 77, loves to play the game. Three hits yesterday in his limited action since he's been called up. He's hitting 538. And you love this kid. You love to watch him play. Ortiz having a heck of a year. He's hitting 312, 57 RBIs at the All-Star break. Gonzalez left with illness yesterday. He had an 18-game hitting streak. He rose his batting average has risen to 283. He's hitting like 370 in those 18 games. It was snapped yesterday because he only got up once, and then he had to come out of the game because he was sick. Derek Jeter, shockingly, made two errors yesterday. Didn't matter. He dropped an easy pop-up that allowed a run to score in the first inning. But again, Yankees 7, Red Sox 3 at the break. The Red Sox are a 500 team now. Bobby Valentine taking a lot of heat, but they have so many injuries. I mean, where's Jacoby Ellsbury? Where's Carl Crawford? I mean, the outfield, you never even heard of these outfielders half the time. Nava in left. Sweeney in center. Ross in right. I mean, they have some guys you've never heard of. Siriaco, who played great. But Gomez at third. I mean, who are these guys? But the Red Sox, you know, they lost three out of four to the Yankees, so that's a problem. Because now they're 9.5 games out at the All-Star break. Everybody up there was hoping they would take three out of four and cut it to 5.5. But I think that's just too tall an order. Plus, Lester and Beckett have not been Lester and Beckett for whatever reason. Yankees, of course, they're the Yankees. They're 52-33, best record in baseball. They've had their own share of injuries, but I don't think you can compare them to the... You can't compare them to the Red Sox injuries. I mean, look, Mariano Rivera goes down, and they have Rafael Soriano, an all-star closer, to close. And he's pitching like an all-star closer. He's pitching like Mariano. So the Yankees are the Yankees are the Yankees, 52-33 at the break, best record in baseball. Yankees 7, Red Sox 3. Another interesting game. The Rays come back with 3 in the top of the ninth to beat the Indians. 7-6 in Cleveland. Cleveland at the All-Star break, 44-41 in the hunt. Tampa Bay, 45-41, you know, waiting for Evan Longoria, frankly, to come back. He's been out for a long time. Will Rimes had a home run. If you don't watch Will Rimes play, you should. Great hustle kid. Hits a home run yesterday, his first of the year, only second of his career. Pena with a huge RBI triple to tie up the game at 6 in the ninth, and Zobra singles him in the top of the ninth. Rays 7, Indians 6. Shin-Soo Choo hits his 10th for the Indians. Casey Koshman hits his 8th. Rimes, as we said, is first of the year, second of his career. Joel Peralta, I'm sorry, gets the win in relief. He's 1-3. Perez takes the loss for Cleveland. He's 0-2. Rodney gets his 25th save. Rodney's an all-star. Rodney might be the best relief pitcher. It's amazing these guys go to Tampa Bay. They pitch like all-stars. Kyle Farnsworth before him. Farnsworth just coming back now off the DH. Shields started 7 innings, pitched 10 hits, 5 runs, 4 earned, no decision. McAllister pitched for Cleveland, 5 2/3, 4 hits, 4 runs, none earned, no decision. And again, Rodney, the all-star, with his 25th save. Tampa Bay 7, Indians 6. Another interesting game, the Angels, with their 13th shutout of the year, they lead the major leagues. It's pretty impressive. Yesterday, they threw a 5-pitcher shutout. Mills gets the win. His first of the year, 5 innings pitched, 3 hits, no runs, 6 strikeouts. Angels 6, Orioles nothing. Mike Trout, rookie of the year, some people touting him as an MVP, hit his 12th home run. Albert Pujols, after a disastrous start, hit his 14th. Trumbo with his 22nd. Eric Ibar with his 2nd. 4 home runs for the Angels. Angels 6, Orioles nothing. Orioles only managed 5 hits. Pujols at the break, 268. Sounds terrible. He was in the 220s for a long time. 1-for-3 with 2 RBIs yesterday. Trout, unbelievable, 341. 12 home runs, 40 RBIs. He's a rookie. He's unbelievable. Pujols 14-51 at the break. Trumbo 22-57 RBIs. Angels have turned it around since their 6-14 start. Since then, they're 42-24. So they're going to make a run in their division, obviously. Orioles 45-40 at the break. Give them a lot of credit. Chen took the loss. He's 7-5. Four innings pitched, five hits, five runs all earned. He did give up three home runs. Angels 6, Orioles nothing. Let's go quickly to the American League standings. This is all at the All-Star break now. Yankees in the East, 52-33. They've opened up a seven-game lead on Baltimore. 7.5 on Tampa. 9.5 on Boston and Toronto, both at 43-43. The Central, a very competitive division, I think, among Chicago, Cleveland, and Detroit. Detroit playing better now. White Sox in first at 47-38. The Indians 3 games out. The Tigers 3.5 games out. Tigers had a nice little 7-3 in their last 10, won 5 in a row to get over 500 finally. I think they're going to be tough in the second half. Kansas City and Minnesota essentially out of it at 37-47 and 36-49 respectively. Texas just behind, a half game behind Yankees for the best record in baseball. Texas 52-34. The Angels with their rush the last 30 games or so, now 10 games over 500, 48-38. They're 4 games behind Texas. Oakland at 500, 9 games out. Seattle, frankly, wait till next year already. They're 36-51, 16.5 games behind Texas. Let's switch now, just look quickly at a few National League games. The most interesting National League game yesterday, at least to me, Zach Greinke, and if you saw him on Saturday, Greinke covered first, actually broke late covering first, got there a smidge late, the umpire called the runner safe, and he was correct. Greinke, disgusted with himself, took the ball and slammed it down on the ground. He didn't look at the umpire. I don't think he was upset with the call, but the umpire, I guess, thought that was an inappropriate action, slamming the ball down the ground, threw Greinke out of the game after 4 pitches. If you saw the replay, you could see Greinke saying, "I was mad at myself." He didn't look at the umpire. He didn't throw the ball towards the umpire, but he got ejected on Saturday, so they brought him back in to start on Sunday. It was kind of a weird start for Greinke. 3 innings pitched, 5 hits, 3 earned run. Milwaukee comes back to win the game in 10 innings. Milwaukee 5, Astros 3. Ryan Braun with a single late to tie it. Corey Hart with an infield single to get the go-ahead run in the 10th inning. Ricky Weeks hit a home run for Milwaukee. But now, apparently, Greinke is going to start Milwaukee's first game after the All-Star break. And the statistic that went around, and you know this could never happen today normally, but Greinke is the first guy since Red Faber in 1917 to start 3 games in a row for a team in the same season. Now, if you listen to these guys, you know, I guess nobody likes the history of baseball, but if you listen to these guys, Red Faber, "Oh, you remember Red Faber," or "Of course we all remember Red Faber." Well, Red Faber just happens to be a Hall of Fame pitcher. 254 wins, pitched for the Chicago White Sox for 19 years, won 3 games in the 1917 World Series. So, you know, it's just amazing to me. It was like Red Faber was like a bum. Red Faber is in the Hall of Fame. Nobody even knows who he is nowadays, so that's a little disappointing. But when you hear that Greinke is going to tie the record of Red Faber, at least have an indication of how good Red Faber was, including in 1917, when he won 3 games for the White Sox in the 1917 World Series. A few other games to look at quickly. The surprising Pirates, 48-37 at the break. Bury the Giants, 13-2. Tim Lincecum, 3-10. 3 1/3 innings pitch, 7 hits, 6 runs all earned. He's 3-10 with a 6.42 ERA at the break. Contrast that to A.J. Burnett, who couldn't get arrested in New York, who couldn't be above 500 to save his life. He gets the win for the Pirates. He's 10-2, 6 1/3 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs both earned. 10-2 with a 3.68 ERA. I mean, what can you say? It's unbelievable. McCutchen having a superstar year, maybe an MVP year. 3-for-5, 3 runs scored, 4 RBIs. He's hitting 362 at the break. He hit his 18th homer. So he's 18, 60 RBIs, 362 at the break. He's an MVP candidate. Walker hit his sixth home run of the year. McCutcheon is 18th. Pablo Sandoval hit his eighth of the year for the Giants, but the Giants buried by the Pirates yesterday, 13-2. A couple of other games. Quickly, Cincinnati beat San Diego 4-2. Jay Bruce and Ryan Ludwig go back-to-back. The Cubs shut out the Mets 7-0. Ryan Dempster, who's got a 1.99 ERA, they're going to put him on the trading block soon for the Cubs. Quickly, the standings. The Nationals 49-34 in first in the NL East. Atlanta 4 out. The Mets 4.5 out. Miami 41-44, 9 out. The Phillies dropping way back to 14 out. They do have Howard and Utley back. Maybe they can make a run. The Pirates in first place. Pirates in first place at the All-Star break, 48-37 in the Central. Cincinnati a game behind. St. Louis 2.5 out. Milwaukee 8 out. Cubs and Houston already done 15 and 15.5 out respectively. The Dodgers with that big lead early in the West go to the break at 47-40. They're a half game in front of San Francisco, who is 46-40 with Tim Lincecum 3-11, so keep an eye on that. Arizona 4 out, getting back near 500, a game below. San Diego and Colorado already, wait till next year. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.